Amen. We have a great God, don't we? I'm so thankful for it. Appreciate that. Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. I'd like to speak on the subject of faith this morning. Now, obviously, we're not going to exhaust the depths of that. And, you know, when I first started preaching years ago, I thought to myself, how in the world am I ever going to come up with three things a week? I mean, you're going to run out of stuff, you know? I mean, the book's only so long. And but you never really plumb the depths of the Word of God, do you? You know, and you just keep going, you keep going, and God keeps giving, and it's just it's a wonderful thing. Of course, obviously, God being eternal, His Word being eternal, and there are eternal truths in here. But Hebrews chapter 11 is probably by what many have called the great hall of faith in the Bible. And of course, we have example after example of people of faith and how they exercised their faith and how that faith was displayed. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. But the idea of faith is kind of a... faith accomplishes a lot of things. There's really only one kind of faith that you can have, but that faith accomplishes a lot of different things. First and foremost, our faith accomplishes or ought to accomplish salvation. And we have faith in God, we believe in Christ, and we trust Him as our Savior. And as our Savior, we believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross for salvation. And of course, that's the foundation that we lay, Jesus Christ, and the faith that we have. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not a work of our own, but it is a necessary aspect of salvation. And of course, that's what some kind of call saving faith. Some kind of go on to the next step and refer to faith as it progresses as keeping faith. And of course, that carries a lot of different dynamics with it. And one of those things is faith's role in prayer. One of those things is faith's role in the circumstances of life and how to respond to those properly. And on it goes. But I just want to kind of step back and just kind of give a bird's eye view, if you would, of faith and what we find about it here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Have you ever seen a sunrise or a sunset? Okay, I think we've probably all done that, and maybe you've had the privilege to be able to be at one of the oceans, either Atlantic or Pacific, and see that over the oceans, a beautiful thing, or seen the Grand Canyon. I've been to the Grand Canyon a few times, and it's a pretty amazing thing. And as we talk about those things, there are aspects of that we talk about that kind of help us develop a greater understanding of it. And that's what we find here in Hebrews 11 about faith. And so look at verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And many, and I'm not gonna argue about it. Many would say, well, that's a definition of faith. But may I submit to you, that's a declaration of faith. That just simply tells us what faith is. It's declaring that faith exists. And of course, really, we find the result of it there: the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we hope for things. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, now abideth faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And of course, we know and understand one of the reasons behind that is because the greatest commandment is to love God, and second, to love one another. So the greatest of these. But understand, faith one day will become sight. That'll be a great day, won't it? Hope one day will be fulfilled and will come to pass. Charity, of course, continues on, I believe, even in heaven. But faith and hope, one day our faith will become sight. So notice again here what he says, this declaration of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. Now that word substance carries the idea of something being physical. It's something that I can enjoy. It's something that I can experience. It's something that I could put my hands on, perhaps even. It's the substance of things hoped for. So in faith, my hope can be fulfilled. He goes on to say there, the evidence of things not seen. Of course, whenever I hear the word evidence, I think of crime and law enforcement. We talk about evidence. We all know what that is, all right? So the evidence of things not seen. Well, what is that? I don't understand that. Well, if faith is having its work in your life, then you understand. I remember years ago asking somebody before I was married, how do you know that the one you meet is going to be the one? You know, like, how do you know? They just said, you'll know. And as a teenage boy, I'm thinking, it'd be nice to have a little more information than that. But, you know, but when I met her, guess what? I knew, you know. I think she knew, too. but we knew. We just knew. You say, that doesn't really make sense to me. Then may I say that faith has not had its work that it needs to be having in your life. Because when faith works like it's designed to work, like God designed it to work in our lives, then we understand, look, oh, I get it. The things I'm hoping for, yeah, I've got the substance of that. This declaration, the fact that faith exists and it's the evidence of things not seen, ha, that makes sense. Look at verse number 2. For by it, these elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me just stop and say this. Creation, believing in creation, takes faith. So does believing in evolution. It's not science. It's religion. Because it's, according to the scientific method, it's never been observed. There are criteria that it has to meet. Evolution is just as much religion as creation is. I remember a couple years back, we had the opportunity to go to England, and we were walking through Westminster Abbey, and I realized about, maybe just 2 or 3 minutes into it, that it's not really a church, it's a cemetery. The building is a cemetery. There's people in the walls, there's people in the floor, and they've got headstones recognizing them. And as we're walking, we stopped for some reason. I think there was a long line there in front of us. And we stopped, and I'm kind of looking around, and I looked down, and I was standing on Charles Darwin. I was standing on him, like on his grave. Some black stones carved his name, Charles Darwin. And not a single person that I know of in front of me, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 people, not a single person that I know of even knew he was there. And I just happened to look down because I was stopped. Kind of gives you an idea. But who do we still talk about and think about? The Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. He's not dead. And it just kind of struck me as odd that, at the moment, it was like people just walking by this man who invented, for all intents and purposes, invented this idea of what we call evolution nowadays, and the evolutionary process, and the survival of the fittest, and all those types of things. And people are walking over his grave and not even paying attention to the fact that he's there. And yet we still promote what he believed. I said all that to say this. All of those things that he came up with really just as much, maybe perhaps even more faith to believe than that there was an almighty being that spoke into existence. So he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Remember, we're talking about the declaration of faith. Faith being declared. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then we come to verse number 6, and may I say, for me anyway, this is the definition of faith. If you had a Christian dictionary and you could define things, I believe this is where faith would be defined, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we find here, it's not a difficulty, it's an impossibility. There's a difference. It's not just hard to do. It's not hard to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Well, let me define faith for you. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You say that he is what? That he is who? That he is God. He said in the book of Exodus, I am. I am what? Doesn't matter. I am. I am God. So faith, defined for me anyway, is the idea that I believe God is who he says he is. There's not a lot of people that believe that. And it seems like there are more and more Christians that claim the name of Christ that have a harder time believing that also. It seems like in the world we're living in, this is a growing thing, that, well, I understand some things about God, but maybe perhaps some other things I'm just not too sure about. I don't quite understand that, and so it's a little bit more difficult to believe. And so as we find there in the gospel records, when Christ came up with some difficult things for them to understand, many of them went away, the Bible says, and followed him no more. So we believe, faith is believing God is who he says he is. And then notice it says, and, that's important, so there's something added to it, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, words are very important, okay? And words mean things. And so it's very important to understand what the Bible's saying and what God is saying here. So we believe that God is who he says he is, and, so there's something more to that, and we must believe that he is a rewarder. So he gives rewards. Not awards, rewards. Awards are earned. Rewards are given. Look, we just got done with the Olympics, and we had a lot of people win awards, right? Because they earned it. They worked hard, they disciplined themselves, they trained for a number of years, and then they finally performed, and as a result of it, they were awarded for their performance. But this is a reward. In other words, this is up to the giver, not the recipient. You see, he is a rewarder. But of who? Not necessarily of everybody, of them that diligently seek him. So again, we ask the question, what about the faith of your life? What about the faith of your heart or your mind or my life or my heart and my mind? Is it what it ought to be? If it's not, it's never God's fault. The problem is always with me. It's never with God. And so if my faith is not developing like it ought to, it's because I have missed what faith actually is, and I must believe that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he said he'll do because he is who he says he is. As long as I am diligently, I'm giving diligence to it. That word's a very interesting word. It's all through the scriptures. I'm putting effort into it. I'm working at it. I'm disciplining myself for it. I'm diligently seeking him. Not what I want. Not to smooth out the circumstances of life. Not to accomplish my own end. Not to fulfill what my desires are. But what he wants. And who he is. I would imagine you do this, but if you don't, may I suggest when you read the Bible, just look for God. Just look for God. He wants you to seek him. Remember what Jesus told that woman at the well? He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's seeking you, and we ought to seek him also. So we have the definition of faith here. Then we're not going to take time to read them all, but beginning in verse number 7, all the way down, you go down to the end of the chapter in verse number 40 there, we find faith being displayed. So we find faith declared, we find faith defined, now we find faith displayed. We find it displayed, like we mentioned already, in Abel, in Enoch, in Abraham, in Moses, all through the scriptures. Of people, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, verse 23, Moses, the Israelites and a couple verses after that, verse number 31, Rahab, a harlot, actually made the great hall of faith. Can you believe that? Samson is actually in here too. He was a miserable failure, wasn't he? But yet he made the hall of faith. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I'm not going to get into all of it and why and all those types of things. But we find this faith being displayed and how these people actually trusted God. This substance that they obtained. This evidence that they were able to observe. This seeking after God. Not seeking after some result, but seeking after God himself. And as a result of that, God moving and working in a great way on their behalf. And then if you go to chapter number 12... we find faith described. So let me go back and say something. Boy, that was a beautiful sunset. What a beautiful sunset. What do? We're declaring it, right? Well, what is a sunset? Well, as the earth spins on its axis, you know, the sun actually doesn't move. It doesn't go up and down. It's the earth that's actually moving. Not only that, but it's rotating around the sun, you know, in a rotation. It's a year, or one series there, whatever you call it. It's in a year. And as one spin rotation on its axis is a full day. And then what do? You define. You can define a sunset. That's kind of boring, though, isn't it? It's necessary to really fully understand it, though. And then, let's go see it. Let's go see it on display. Boy, it's beautiful. But let me describe it to you. Oh, the colors are beautiful. Sometimes it starts with oranges and then reds and pinks and all kinds of colors in between on that spectrum. Sometimes some clouds float across it and it becomes even more beautiful, or perhaps you see certain aspects, or maybe there's a thunderstorm out in the distance and the sun is setting here and the thunderstorm's over here and you have lightning flashing and you go through all this whole description. And so now what we find wrapping this whole thing up is a description of faith. Look at it. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you describe faith to me? Well, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? Sometimes we get so distracted and so distraught with the things going on around us and all the circumstances that are involved in our lives that God has allowed. And we get so distracted by those things that we miss what God is trying to do in our life through faith and with the faith that he's given us. Now let me stop and say this. Let me give you a warning, if I may. Before you go and ask God to increase your faith, I want you to understand what that means or can mean. You very well might be tested in ways that you have never imagined or desired for yourself. Remember Abraham? I don't know if he actually asked God to increase his faith, but God increased his faith. Remember Moses? Remember Hannah? You know, we always use men as examples in the Bible. There's plenty of women there too, right? Rahab's in here, remember her? And on through the list of people and the examples, the display that we have of what faith actually is in the Bible. So understand, we all want greater faith. We all want stronger faith. And we ought to want a greater and stronger faith. But with that, understand what comes with that. Could be difficulty. Could be trial like we've never imagined. Could be a circumstance that we would have never chosen for ourselves. But may I say this? May I testify, and I think those of you who know what I'm talking about would say the same thing. In those things, it wasn't fun. And even after those things, looking back, it wasn't enjoyable. But I'm so glad it happened. Anybody know Lee Robertson? Anybody know the name Lee Robertson? Older preacher from years ago, started Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga. Years ago, lived to be 92 or 3 or something like that. I think he was 90 years old before he died. Was a pastor there. Highland Park Baptist Church doesn't exist anymore. Tennessee Temple schools don't exist anymore. But after he retired, he went into full-time evangelism and preaching. At the end of his life, it's been said, I wasn't there when it happened, but it's been said at the end of his life, he said, I wish I would have had more faith. At 90-some years old. It came a whole lot sooner than I thought it was going to come. But in that amount of time, I wish I would have had more faith. And the things that God used to accomplish through him were amazing. I mean, things that could have been accomplished without faith. And yet a man like that, an individual like that, says, I wish I had more faith. See, faith is necessary to please the Lord. If we don't have faith, we can't please him. Not that it makes it difficult, not that it makes it hard, it's impossible. Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You see, we skip over that word must if we're not careful. We must believe that he is. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is so necessary. Father, help us with this. We thank you for your truth, for your word. How it strengthens us and encourages us. Father, we ask that you increase our faith. God, increase my faith. Understanding what that may mean. Father, help us to have the faith that will get a hold of you, will know you to a greater degree, that you can use, that you're honored with and honored by. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. The message primarily is to Christians this morning, to believers. Perhaps you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you're watching, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You need to have the faith in order to be saved. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and allow faith to have a saving difference in your life. Perhaps you've done that. Perhaps you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've put your faith and trust in him. And you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you're a child of God. How's your faith right now? Put a thermometer on your faith right now. How hot is it for the Lord? Or what is your faith in? What are you putting your faith in? We put a faith in a lot of things, unfortunately, oftentimes to the detriment of the faith that we ought to have in God. Stand with me if you would. Song number, what number is it? 162. Number 162, if you want to follow along as we sing. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart about something. Talk to the Lord about it. sing that chorus together. Let's sing that chorus together. Here we go. Living by faith in Jesus above,
trusting
this morning. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. You got gospel tracts back there. Grab one or two of those and take them. Give it to somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. Any announcements before we need to go? Anything? Everybody good? Don't forget about the fellowship tonight. And that